Blog Talk Radio.
It's the Freeze Spot with your host, Dr. Frank Bader. I'm Neil Utron Foster. Freeze Spot Radio is brought to you by Run Infectator Blog Network. Get everything you need and a few things you truly not want.
Okay, we're back after a kind of hiatus. How you doing, Neil?
All right.
Am I breaking up any?
Nope.
All right, that's good. Well, we've had a few things happen since then. I mean, nothing good or important or anything. Like, I started playing a game called Shining Force, and it was pretty damn awesome. I mean, it's one of the best video games I've ever played. As a strategy RPG, that had a great ending. I was going to tell Neil, Neil, have you played the Shining Force?
You mean Shining.
Quiet, you want to be sued? See, that's the humor you've been missing out on. Neil, you were recently at a convention, weren't you?
Yes, I've been doing stuff at this local convention in Huntsville called HammerCon for the last 3 years, counting also two of the mini cons, because we do this thing where every November we have a one-day con that coincides with it. And as far as I know, we've never had any stolen goods until this year, where we actually broke about 1,200 plus people, and guess who got stolen?
All right, Neil, what all stuff was stolen?
I've ran the game room, because that's what I've been doing, and we've had about, someone lost their phone, but it wasn't mine, I lost the 3DS AC adapter, because I was trying to plug mine in. Someone took cables out of a bag. Someone took the SD card out of the Wii. It's not the worst thing that got stolen because I did a couple of panels, and one of the panels actually had sound issues. But the big thing is that they had kind of this, one of our friends of the gaming people had his little gaming laptop to have people share for panels, and it was mostly just me for my two. And he just basically told him, "Oh, just leave it in the staff break room, because only staff and guests should be in there." And I basically kind of hid it behind something, and yet somehow that bag, inconspicuous bag, got stolen. So he lost everything that was in that bag.
Okay, Neil, so are you planning on going back?
I don't know.
No, you're not going back.
Knowing how I am, I'd probably just be like, okay, I'm not bringing my Wii this time.
Now, Neil... why did it take a tough stance, Neil? One thing we would like is that for Neil to actually be reimbursed somehow, because it's when you're working for free for somebody, the least they could do is give you a 50 or something. And I was talking to William about it. He said, well, if they gave Neil that, they might have to do it for him. Well, it's like you do the best you can. Like for Marcus, they can't replace his laptop, all at once, but they could give him something so at least you feel better about it. So it's not just a fuck you, go on your way.
Very disenfranchised, especially since one of our friends is also going to do a panel, but had stuff happen. It's kind of been a bet all around for panels, at least, and staff.
And I know William said he's quitting.
Yeah, he can't run the game room as much.
Well, I'm having my saga with the airbrush place.
How long has it been? 2 months?
It has been over 2 months. The other day, I actually talked to the owner. And the owner felt terrible.
Oh, wait. The person that we met all the time is not actually the owner there?
No. This is somebody that was higher up than him. And the woman offered to give me my money back fully. But I explained that my situation is I get my stuff done, and especially since, the pants have already been started.
At this point, can't they just finish it up and give you the money?
Honestly, that's what it's going to take to make it right for me when I go to pick it up. I go to pick it up, and they said, look, we're sorry. It was inexcusable to be that late. Here, we're going to give you your money back. I will say, okay, that was good of you. I'll come back. But if not, you know, fuck them. I did ask them to go ahead and put airbrush the emblem on the back of my jacket vest, because I'm here since I'm never getting it back anyway.
Oh, yeah, and also the fact that you paid for that vest specifically to have stuff on it.
Right. That's why I got it anyway. And I was thinking of going to embroidery place, but since I talked to the owner and they said they'd have it done, but I got to call back. Let me see, Neil. Do we have any callers?
I don't think we do. Well, the thing is, the stuff that got stolen is replaceable. The only thing that's more of a hassle is just the fact that I had to put all that stuff back on the SD card. I didn't really lose saves. It's just having to put all the stuff back on with the games and everything. It's also the fact that I haven't been able to play Xenoblade in about a couple of weeks just because I was busy working on the stuff for HammerCon. And I haven't been able to play in these last couple of weeks since HammerCon because I'm not able to play it without the cable.
My watch!
I'm so close to the end, I think, this time. You know, after being that 80 hours in, I'm like, okay, this is about near the end of the game. Oh, 20 more hours.
Well, I guess it's better than the alternative.
Well, but people said about some games like Lollipop Chainsaw, it's only like 6 hours.
Yeah, we're just passing by real fast.
Or the Call of Duty
game. Shining Force 2. I'm playing Shining Force 2, and it's pretty good, though it doesn't quite have the epic feeling of the original.
That happens.
Okay, Neil,
we
got a caller.
Yep.
Okay.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Eric, how you doing?
Okay.
Do you have any grievances?
Like, no terrible things happened to you?
Not lately. Not in the last hour.
You sure you don't have any grievances you want to air on this poorly listened to podcast?
No.
Okay, so Dallas came back Wednesday, and in our little circle, this was a big social event. Because we've been waiting for this for over a year.
Pretty definitely not exactly the demographic that should be interested in watching Dallas. Yeah.
I think
I've been waiting for this since like the last Bad Reunion movie in 1998. So I didn't actually think it would actually happen.
Well, the thing is, Neil, you have to remember, how old's Harpo Mike? Isn't he like 33 or 34?
Well, that's still the same demographic we're in. If you're going by the same age,
you know, a lot of us would have watched it when we were kids, when it was in syndication.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people got into it on DVDs. That Dallas was a big seller on DVD with new fans.
Yeah. I really know only three big Dallas fans, and that's why it's a cult thing, I guess, people are in our age group.
Okay, sorry, I was getting a phone call in the middle of this. Anyway, what were your thoughts on the new show?
Well, I generally liked it, but, you know, it's not really flawless. I don't know if the new cast, I'm thinking they're kind of bland for the most part. I kind of like Josh Henderson, but I'm not really a fan of the guy who plays Christopher Jesse Metcalf, what's his name, I guess?
Yeah, that's it.
Maybe he'll improve.
Yeah, he was Desperate Housewives or something.
Yeah.
And he was in that movie where those girls were stalking him for being a pussy hound.
Yeah, more or less.
Yeah, something. I can't remember the name of the movie. It still has a few rough edges. One thing I noticed about John Ross, I tried to figure out what the problem with him was, because I'm really tired of seeing him on screen after a while, or I did. And I figured out what it was. He doesn't have that one thing that JR had. You know, number one, JR's kind of charming, where even if he's being a motherfucker, you still want to be around him. And two, you always had a feeling about JR that deep, deep down, he was a good guy. Or, you know, not a total bastard. Like, he loved his parents. He loved his family. He loved his brother. He loved Bobby. And, you know, he loved his parents. And right now, John Ross, you're not getting any of that.
Yeah, he just kind of seems like a big whiny brat.
What did you think of Jordana Brewster on the show?
They were okay. I know you didn't like her that much, the character at least.
Well, I didn't dislike her on, like, she wasn't necessarily an unlikable character. You know, that wasn't really the problem. My problem was how they were trying to shoehorn her into the established history. And this isn't an unseen history. You know, it's like you said, she was always in the other room, obviously.
Yeah, I think she's... Yeah, it's kind of, I remember when Dawn appeared in Buffy, they made comic books that had her in all of a sudden put into history. Maybe they should do that with Elena, like, have her all of a sudden where Pam gets into a car accident and she's talking to Christopher or something. Or Christopher finds out she's adopted and she talks to her.
Or you know the one when Christopher shot John Ross?
Yes.
It's like... Hold on a second, I'm having a guest. Out of my room. Out of my room, champ. Send Connor to the baby butter pit. Blow on his belly.
I thought they didn't have the kids around.
Do what? Oh, I guess I did.
But they just magically appear.
They showed up a couple hours ago. I'm kind of in the position that I, on one hand, I really need to rest. On the other hand, I have no life outside of them.
Maybe.
So anyway, like I was saying, yeah. you know, you insert her in little bits in the history, like, you know, when Christopher shot John Ross and you see her, she's like their age, saying, gee, Christopher, shouldn't you know you're never supposed to play with a gun?
Maybe she stowed away with the boys and J.R. and Bobby and she went to Haleyville on a hunting trip.
Yeah. Or, you know, they can have when Pam ran away, that she really helped Christopher get through it.
Maybe she's going to help Pam escape.
Just always. And the thing is, one thing I don't understand is, they decided to make her mother the cook. What I didn't understand is, why wouldn't they just use the established Ewing housekeeper?
Yeah, I don't know. Teresa, yeah. I don't know why.
I don't know why they... That's what I'm trying to figure out. Why didn't they do that?
Yeah, it's not like you would care about the recasting. There are a couple Teresa's, weren't they?
I think so. I feel bad because I think they go like they would find a Hispanic lady, give her a similar haircut.
Yes. I know there are a couple of Raul's.
Maybe they just renamed them Raul, whoever worked there.
Yeah, may just be racist like that and call their all their servants Teresa and Raul.
And like Jock, like this, I'm just going to call you Raul, son.
Yeah.
One thing I did like was that John Ross did try to be honest with Bobby initially.
I like the part where Bobby's like, okay, stop chewing on my ranch, guys. They know the economy's tough. And John Ross is like, no, keep on doing it. And the workers are like, no, we're stopping. He owns the ranch.
Yeah. He's like, no, keep working. And it's like, yeah, we're not fucking Bobby Ewing. We're gone. And another thing I did like that they did try the story is that Bobby's not sure how to deal with John Ross like he would JR. Because he actually, you know, he sort of raised it, so he feels more conflicted.
Yeah.
I thought they were going with the swerves way too much to the point that near the end it was feeling like a parody.
Yeah, it's a little Russo Crash TV-ish.
Yeah, that's what someone else said. Like, the whole thing with the woman that's claiming to be the old Mexican guy's daughter, and then she has sex with John Ross and she films it. And the thing I was thinking was, yeah, that's going to show a young single man having sex with a hot chick in a nice motel room.
Yeah. Same network. Family network. Yeah, same channel, yeah. It's same channel as Nitro, so it's Crash TV.
Really, Larry Hagman was just great in it, especially because the way he switched, he went from being, you know, kind of in that stupor, then when he heard Bobby was selling South Fork, he just switched right into old JR.
Yes, exactly. He's still the best thing on the show. Even the people who didn't like the show, practically all of the other reviews that were negative still said they liked Larry Hagman.
One thing I liked was, I like that he now has, that he's a helpless old man. He added that into the arsenal.
Yeah. And I like that.
Yeah, he's, not,
he's a little bit different, but he's not like JR from the last few years. He doesn't feel like comedic like JR from the last few years in the show did. He still feels like he's kind of a little more mysterious maybe because we don't see him as much.
And we don't know exactly what happened to him.
Yes.
I wonder if that XFL and Google thing are gonna stick for when Cliff comes back.
Yeah, we'll see next week.
I do understand that they have to give the new cast some focus, that they couldn't spend too much time, but I don't think it would have killed them to have given Ray at least a little bit of stuff to do.
Let's talk about the return of Ray and Lucy. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, they were just there for like, I mean, I guess it was good money for them, you know, but to do like 5 minutes of work.
Yes. See, Ray had like two lines. He said like, "Hey, Bob, you look good." And selling? I think that's all his lines. I like that.
You would think Ray would have more to say.
He just says to Ray and Lucy, "But I'm selling South Park," and just walks away. And they're like, "What?"
You know, it's funny. If you told somebody years ago, the person that aged the worst from the original Dallas cast would be Charlene Tilton, I wouldn't have believed it.
Yeah. Well, Linda Gray still looks pretty good, obviously.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, even the people that are, like, you know, really, like, you know, Larry Hagman doesn't look bad for an 80-year-old man.
Okay. Well, Linda Gray looks so good for her age. Her and JR together still seems kind of weird now, I think.
One thing, though, as good as great as Larry Hagman was on it, though, I'm assuming the long-term plan is to somehow get the younger cast members interesting enough that they can carry the show on their own.
Maybe.
I was trying to make it another long season set, and the word that he might not survive too much.
Well, I think the deal is that, you know, when you have an 80-year-old man having to carry things, you have to, you know, prepare for the eventuality he might die. Which,
yeah.
I really hope not. Larry Hagman does have two hearts and three livers.
Yeah, I know. I mean, Betty White's on 10 years after Larry Hagman's age. She's on TV, but still, he has more health problems than Betty White, obviously.
Yeah, so, but I mean, hopefully he does, because I think they can at least get 2 years out of it with Larry Hagman. So that would give them more to sell on DVD as a back catalog.
Yeah, but they're going to have some older people on the show. I mean, this is TNT, not CW. I mean, I kind of think definitely Patrick Duffy's going to be on this as long as it goes on.
Yeah. I'll say this much. It seems like it's much better than the 90210 revival, which seemed to be done just simply.
Well, that's the problem. The problem with the, like, 90210 revival and the Elvis Presley revival is that it's on the CW, so it's like we want to have some older characters in the show, guest star for the long-term fans, but we're the CW, so we don't really care about people over the age of, like, 30.
That'll be the main challenge with this, is basically doing a good job mixing it together. I don't feel like Sue Ellen had too much to do, because it felt like they never really, they seemed like they really glossed over things that happened too much. Which, there is a balance, because you don't want it to be like a professor reading from a textbook about what happened after Dallas. But at the same time, you don't want it to be where, you know, everybody's being too vague about what happened. And I'm still trying to figure out the timeline for this. You know, what happened after Conundrum? Like, did John Ross come back? Because I'm still trying to figure out, you know, how he would have, how him and, you know, how he would have came back into the picture with the Alina and all of them.
Do you think that it's going to have the tales about that emerge through the next couple episodes.
That would be my guess.
I can't give away too much in just the first episode.
Yeah, didn't we read spoilers about the next few episodes, Eric?
Yeah, 3 and 4. Yeah, they were leaked. Someone found them, yeah.
One thing was about the whole email thing. I feel like Elena blamed Christopher way too soon, to where John Ross is a little bit justified to be angry at her.
Yeah, maybe.
Well, he said he didn't send the email. It's like, oh, so you're blaming him automatically.
They have communication issues, Elena and Christopher.
Yeah. I liked Christopher's very direct method of hacking, where he broke into the house.
The thing is,
he didn't even hire somebody to do it. He just...
The email thing may sound a little silly, but the thing is, that's pretty much how... letters pretty much how Bobby and Pam broke up.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that is... Somebody actually said that. Somebody said, someone must have read the Catherine Wentworth manual on how to break up couples.
Yeah, so they both have issues, Bobby and Christopher, with talking.
Yeah, decide. Oh, nobody bothers to even send email replies. And what I'm wondering about this email is, okay, it obviously, I'm guessing this is the first time they exchanged emails, so somebody hacked into Chris's email account.
Yes.
And sent the email. But it just felt like that she was way too anxious just to believe Christopher about it, and, you know, John Ross, you know, and if John Ross wasn't such an unlikable little shit, you'd actually feel bad for him.
Yes,
I have a little drama going on in the next room. It's nothing serious. I believe they're having a wrestling match or something, because Connor, I'll hear Connor crying, and I'll say, Dylan, what's wrong? He said, we're playing. And I said, really? Plague? Connor crying. And Dylan goes, yes. And then I'll come in, they'll be wrestling or something. Dylan will be sitting on Connor's back with him in a Boston Crab.
Who taught you such things? Like, go on, we're going to watch WWE.
Yeah, it's like,
hey,
I know he didn't get it.
Hey, I know he didn't get it from WWE. They haven't been doing any wrestling for years.
They haven't done anything resembling wrestling hold. Yeah, it's like, I don't want them to learn violence. After this over, we'll go back to watching The Best of Vader. Oh, on Raw Monday, Eric, you saw Vader, didn't you?
Yeah. What a week for a comeback. Vader and Larry Hagman.
Man, that'd be a pretty sweet team up.
Yes.
Yeah, I like the way Heath Slater was saying, it's time, because, you know, that's like saying Bloody Mary in front of a mirror.
Yeah, but I like it because Vader kind of, he was really great around 93, 94, 95, 96. Then his reputation kind of went down a little bit. Remember after he lost to Kane? He's like, I'm fat. Remember?
Well, it was when he went to Japan because, you know, he was able to have good matches in Japan in the early 2000s. Then his knees started going out on him.
Yeah.
Like, even on Monday, he was having kind of a hard time getting back to his feet, but when he was standing, his stuff still looked good. They said Meltzer... I was looking, and Meltzer said they might actually bring back Vader part-time. That the roster's that thin right now.
What is part-time? Would it be just, like, once a month or something?
It'd probably be somebody to put on TV every now and then.
Well, like Sergeant Slaughter did for a while.
Kind of. I was thinking they should make Vader the new GM. You know, someone takes business into their own hands.
Oh, yeah, like when we saw Hulk Hogan when they had TNA in Huntsville. Oh, he didn't do anything. What'd you say, Victor?
I said he walked to the ring. For Hulk, that's a lot these days. Okay, but going back to Dallas, how do you think how big a role do you think Cliff is going to play into the show next week?
Cliff?
How big a role do you think Cliff will play in the next week's episode?
Well, the thing is, I already know the spoiler, so I can't really guess because I know what it actually is. So
Oh, yeah. I'm not sure exactly how much he does, because it's been a while since I read him, so I'm just going to let it percolate in my mind. I'm disappointed we never got to see Christopher being drugged by JR and Cliff into trying to join their businesses.
Yeah.
But again, I'm not sure what happened. Cliff got Ewing Oil. What happened? Did he make it into an even bigger company?
According to the timeline, he sold Ewing Oil at one point, but he got richer somehow, whether it's Google or something else. He's richer than Ewing's probably now.
Yeah, do you know that he was actually, do you know Ken Kercheval was actually a popcorn magnate?
Yeah, I think I heard that once.
Paul Magnet,
I just
love
his Twitter, because you tell it's actually him. He's just like, someone, like, all of a sudden, tweet something like, I heard CNN is rerunning us right now, true or not.
CNN hasn't existed. Sir, CNN hasn't existed for at least a decade.
He said TNT, not CNN. I got confused. Actually said TNT, but it's like, is this on right now?
Are they rerunning it? It seems like that'd be a good idea.
Well, it was on
Friday,
channel,
though.
To put it on TNT in like an early morning time slot?
Yeah, it was on Friday at 10 or 10:30, whatever, or something like that. Like it used to be in the old days.
Yeah, it seems like that'd be a good idea, you know, since they always put these dramas on. God knows they show like 20 Law and Orders.
Yes.
And, yo, speaking of this, I was watching Law & Order right before Dallas came on, and they did the episode based on the O.J. book. And he got accused of another murder, and I'm thinking, this is the most shameless goddamn writing I have ever seen.
The old rip from the headlines type of writing.
Yeah, it's like rip from the headlines. They don't even do much to change it.
Well, that's what they do. It's basically called lazy writing. Yeah, there was a school shooting recently, and a school shooting. Yeah, it's just like the kid that just shot everyone, but, you know.
There's this one episode with Melissa Joan Hart was playing a teacher, and I can't remember, and she said that she had sex with a student, but it turned out the student had raped her. Then when he got sent to the juvenile detention facility, he was raped by a janitor. And they let him out of jail scot-free to make up for him being raped by a janitor.
Well, he got an eye for an eye. All right, kid, you just raped the teacher, now the teacher's going to rape you. Oh, I've been waiting for this.
another great episode. I didn't know how we were going to fit rape into this episode, but I'm glad we found a way. So, Eric, is there anything you're looking forward to coming up?
I guess next Dallas episode.
Yeah, I was trying to think, is there another movie coming out? I was trying to think, is there, not Dark Knight Rises, but something else?
I don't know.
No,
oh, yeah,
I saw
a commercial for Spider-Man 4, and I remember I saw that it was nothing but fight scenes, and I said, wait, is this a commercial for the PS3 Spider-Man game or the movie? And I said, oh, God, it's the movie.
This is really going to be lost between the hype and the people seeing the Avengers and Batman. It's just like, everyone's forgetting that this movie exists, I think, compared to the other two.
Yeah, Paramount pushed G.I. Joe back to March.
Yes,
just
I actually like that trailer.
I know, I didn't see it. Okay, I guess we gotta go. If you're listening,
yeah, we got a minute left.
Go to horsepowerthemovie.blogspot.com. I just, Kill the Future just finished, along with all the other stories. Go to Dr. Victator Presents, .blogspot.com, where I always usually have a fresh supply of wrestling matches, and Untitled Moon Project, .blogspot.com, where I talk about movies and comics and shit. Eric, thanks for joining us.
Thanks.
All right, man. I'll catch you later. And Neil, good luck on getting your stuff back. Bye-bye.
It's going to take a while. Bye.